The Big Scottish Football Podcast with Stephen Mill and Ewan Cameron. With Scotty brand beetroot crisps waiting for kickoff at your local Morrisons.
Hello and welcome to the Big Scottish Football Podcast. I'm Stephen Mill, he's Ewan Cameron. This is episode 90, and as you can see, the Big Scottish Football Podcast is brought to you by Scotty brand and their brand new beetroot chips. And they come in three excellent flavours, Ewan Cameron. Obviously, we've had the Thai sweet chilli. We had them the past couple of weeks. They were amazing. But today, we've got the cheese and onion flavour. They also come in lime and coriander as well. I think the cheese and onion, though, are, I think they might be the toppers.
Well, we haven't yet tried.
No, you have. You opened them.
We haven't yet tried the third one on the list.
The lime and coriander one.
But as it stands right now, as much as I loved the sweet chilli,
yeah,
cheese and onion.
Because producer John brought these into the studio before we started and said, don't open them.
I had to open them.
And then you opened them straight away.
And we ate half a bag.
Yeah, they are excellent, to be fair. So that was a good decision to open them, actually.
Thank you, Scotty Brand, for sponsoring us during the Euros.
Yeah, thank you very much. And make sure they're your first pick for the football this summer when you're picking up a packet or two at your local Morrisons. And later on, of course, we'll be playing our crisp game.
Hernan Crispo.
No, that was a couple of weeks ago. It was Hernan Crispo a couple of weeks ago. It was Cristiano Ronaldo last week. And
today?
Well, producer John has written down Crisp Commons, which I think is quite good. Uh-huh. And then next week, we could maybe do Ryan Crispy.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So I think that's good.
Yeah,
that's fine. So we'll do that a wee bit later on.
So I get to eat more of those crisps later.
You get to shove as many as you can in your mouth, and then you need to say a player who's playing at the Euros, and I
need to
guess
it. And if you get two out of three, I'll give you a packet of cheese and onion.
I'll get my very own packet. Yeah, thank you very much. How are you, Ewan?
I'm very good, as you can probably tell, and I do apologise for my voice today, and I'm sounding even more sexy than normal. But I was out on Friday night, so I did a lot of shouting and singing, and it's got to that point in my life where I like to go to a bar where I can have a conversation without having to shout over music.
And people just get increasingly louder
and louder and louder, yeah, to be heard. And you can, and then you say something and then the person will turn to you and go, what did you say? And then you get a wee bit louder.
You're getting to that age, though. Like, you're well in your 50s now.
No, shut up, well in my 50s. You're in your 30s.
Yeah, I'm well in my 30s,
right.
Yeah.
Right. Do you like being in a loud place and trying to have a conversation with people? No, you don't.
Well, it depends on the situation.
Well, we were in a bar that had loud music being played by a DJ.
Was that all that doof-doof stuff?
Oh, there's a lot of doof-doof, and I'm not into the doof-doof stuff.
No, you're not into doof-doof stuff.
And so that's why my voice is a bit croaky today.
Right, okay, so does that mean, like, people can rejoice because you'll be doing less speaking?
Oh, no, I'll still have my point to make and I will still have things to say.
Well, we've got a couple of people coming on the show today, actually, because there's plenty of time to chat about stuff, because obviously there was no domestic football at the weekend. Obviously, we'll get on to Scotland and the Euros and Lyndon Dykes and all the rest there.
Because, see, when we come off air last week with the podcast, it then came out that the plastic pitches had been banned in the Scottish Premiership.
So we've got a very special guest coming on the show in the next 20 minutes
to try and persuade me why plastic pitches are a good thing, and I can't wait to clamp them.
Okay, well, we'll find out who that is very shortly. Some correspondence from last week before we go any further.
I've got some messages as well.
So, obviously, there was the Scottish Cup final we discussed last week. Some very unhappy Celtic fans.
Why?
Because they chose to only listen to parts of what we said last week, I think. We won the league by 8 points, you Muppets. You can't make it all one-way traffic. They had a meltdown too. We won the cup, not Rangers. The only team in the world who loses a trophy as opposed to the other teams winning it. Perpetual excuses. Celtic have won 19 out of the last 24 trophies, and I guarantee you, we will strengthen so there's more heartache for you to follow.
What did we say that instigated that reaction?
Emerald Abroad says, match stats, Celtic possession 63.2%, Rangers 36.8%, and Rangers were better, more aggressive team. You can be aggressive all you like without the ball. Think that's called running, you pair of idiots. And Charlie, MCCFC.
Uh-huh. What team's he support?
In what way were Rangers the better team? Taylor didn't manhandle Raskin either while ball was in play. Embarrassing to suggest that could have been a penalty. The Scales push was well outside the box. The Davis handball to Stone Waller. So we got loads of messages. I got loads of messages on Twitter this week about this as well. So I don't know. I mean, I think every
football fan and neutral observer of the game thought that Rangers ultimately were the better team. There's nothing. I mean, that's just what it was, but Celtic won.
I think what we said was it was an absolutely
dire game.
Terrible game of football.
Yeah.
Celtic played well, I thought, the first 10-15 minutes, started the game really well. But then Rangers made it an aggressive game.
Yeah, and they were in their faces.
Aye. They just picky, sort of wee free kicks and all that. Aye. They're breaking the game up. And Celtic didn't really play any decent football.
No, it's because Rangers...
Rangers didn't let them.
Yeah, And then
Celtic won the cup, and like that's really good for Celtic. If you're a Celtic fan, you'd be happy because you won the cup.
But you're upset because we suggested that Rangers were aggressive and got in their faces.
At no point did I say that I thought Rangers played scintillating football at any point, because they didn't.
But we didn't say that.
We didn't say that. I just said that I thought they were on the front foot in the second half.
And put pressure on Celtic.
And I even said, without even really creating that many chances.
Yeah, and Joe Hart wasn't really tested.
No, exactly. So, I mean...
It's amazing. Football fans, and this is across the board, this is not just at Celtic fans, this is across the board. I mean, loads of Hearts fans hate me because of the things I say about Hearts and the
Dundee
club.
Dundee United fans hate you as well.
They don't like me either.
But Raith Rovers fans, they hate you as well, actually. Yeah.
Yeah. But
Hibs fans, they also really don't like you. Yeah. Sorry, Aberdeen fans. They really hate you as well.
I don't think I could go near Pataudry.
Livingston fans, they obviously hate you as well. That goes without saying.
All three. Yeah. I mean, all three of them. I actually bumped into all three of them once when I was at Livingston versus Hearts, and it was quite scary.
Yeah.
My point is this: is that it's amazing how football fans just pick up what they want to hear.
Mm.
They don't listen to everything in context.
Mm-hmm.
They hear what they don't like, and then they go crazy with that.
Yeah,
without listening to the full sentence or the full explanations to what we think.
We'll get on to later on when we talk about the plastic pitches, but I tweeted about the plastic pitches.
I did see that.
And it sort of,
by the way, can I just say I agreed with you on it?
Went a bit sort of wild. And basically my overriding point was I'm glad this plastic pitch stuff is done now and we can actually stop talking about it, because I find it boring and I don't think it's that much of an issue. Now, if you disagree with that, that's fine. And then I listed 3 or 4 things that I thought were actual issues. The number one being that only 2 teams have won the Scottish top flight since 1985, and I think that's a massive issue.
Yeah.
But funnily enough, and not all, I would say not all.
No.
There was actually a lot of Celtic and Rangers fans who agreed with me as well. But I would say the majority of people who disagreed with me, funnily enough, supported Celtic and Rangers. Really? And I wonder why that is. I don't know. I can't really...
It's because they're winning everything, mate.
Yeah, I think that might be what it is.
And they get all the money.
And they don't see the problem with it just now.
No, they don't see the problem.
Winning everything.
And they don't see the problem with playing each other 4, 5, 6 times a season, which is really fucking boring.
Yeah, it is boring. That was my main point. But anyway, we'll get to that in just a wee second. But thank you, as ever, for your feedback. You can leave it on the YouTube channel, as ever. We're not scared to read out stuff.
If you want to be critical.
If you want to have a pop at us, that's totally fine.
We'll
On the playoffs, Kieran Connolly says, I don't think the gap is as big as 6-1 on aggregate would suggest. Bring 4 clubs up to the Prem and they would get results. Rangers and others should be for this, as they would win the league if they don't face Celtic 4 times. This is sort of going on to what we're saying. Because I said, you know, Raith Rovers were outclassed over the 2
they
games
were.
Against Ross County, 6-1. And I said it was the biggest... The biggest gap or the biggest sort of aggregate score in a playoff match. But James Goodwin and a couple of other people did point out that Motherwell beat Rangers 6-1 on aggregate as well. Remember
that's
when
right.
Rangers were in the playoff.
Yes.
But, I mean, that still means that it's still... The
a record-equaling...
A record-equaling.
Defeat in a playoff final.
On Pop-Tarts, Pandora...
Oh, yes.
Pandora Bateman says, I have Pop-Tarts in my kitchen cupboard. And he sent us a picture. I grew up with these, chucked in the toaster... Utterly volcanic, like eating molten sugar. I let them cool down a bit more now. Childhood memories.
I actually suggested on Twitter that I was going to bring in a toaster today and some Pop-Tarts, and I completely forgot to do it. Would that have been allowed to bring a toaster in here and plug it in?
That's really weird you say that. Producer Jono, he's been around the block loads of times.
You know,
he's worked in radio for a very long time. Toasters are not common in radio station offices. Is it something to do with, like...
Fire alarms
or health and safety
You're
or something?
You're not allowed. I think in most offices, toasters are a banned thing. I don't think it's just radio offices because of the health and safety fire issues that come with a toaster.
But I've had a toaster my entire life at home, and not once has it just burst into flames.
Yeah. You need to get things pat-tested as well around here.
Yeah, that is...
So I couldn't have brought in a toaster today
no,
and some Pop-Tarts.
What would have happened was your toaster would have exploded into flames and burnt down the entire radio station. apparently.
That's what would happen. Which is why we can't taste Pop-Tarts today, unfortunately, because I wanted to try them.
On the quiz, Darren says, hey, I love the podcast. I used to think the quiz was against Ewan, but then I just realised he's not very good. I think Stephen would beat him on a shootout quiz all about Ewan's life. And then he asked us another question, which I won't get into because we don't have time to do that. But thank you very much for the question, Darren. Another person saying, can you give Ewan questions on a quiz about himself to see if the donkey gets them right? And going back to the man we met at the train station, Raymond, we discovered his name was last week.
Yes.
Kay McLeod said, the cheek of Ewan to slag anyone's appearance when only a couple of weeks ago he was in a chocolate-stained Yoda onesie like a five-year-old. A great point. Well made, I would say.
I also got quite a few messages. Can I read out a couple of messages myself?
Mm-hmm.
Because there's quite a few messages reacting to my story about the birth of my children.
Yes, there was quite a lot of reaction.
So Jordan has given me permission to read this out because he sent me a private DM.
Right, okay.
Saying, Ewan, I'm listening to the pod and I heard your story about what you said during childbirth. Something similar happened to me. So this is Jordan's story. Me and my wife Emma had our first baby when we were 20. I left her at hospital at 11 p.m. and was told to be on standby as the baby would be probably along quite soon. So I went home and I got phoned out my bed at 4 a.m. Got to the hospital, and as I got there, the head started coming out, but it was coming out backwards. I have no idea why I said this, but I panicked and screamed at Emma, the baby has no face.
Right, okay.
And it caused a panic.
Right.
Now, that, I think that's worse than me saying, when I looked at my wife saying, it's not
come
that
on,
difficult,
come
just,
on.
Just push.
Aye.
He got his wife believe it because it came out backwards.
The baby had no face.
So the baby was up the way, coming out.
I believe breech is the term.
No, breech isn't that.
Is that not breech?
Breech is when the feet come out first.
Oh, right, okay.
That's breech.
Okay.
So it's normally when it comes over the hill.
Mm-hmm.
You come like that, you go down.
Aye.
Then you come up.
Take a right. And down the hill.
And then you get, there's that bit where you've got to get over the hill.
Aye.
And that's the tough bit. So the baby clearly thought, nah, I'm going to turn round for this bit.
So and basically then, the way the baby was just coming out.
It would see mum.
How you doing?
How you doing? I'm here.
Aye.
But he didn't see that. He just saw the back and he didn't think the baby had a face.
Right, okay.
And screamed at his wife that the baby didn't have a face, and she was quite angry and upset and was wondering what was going on with the baby.
Yeah, well, you would.
You would, of course you would.
Yeah.
But the baby did have a face.
Good.
And the baby was born and everything was fine. So, things not to say when having a child.
Yes, absolutely.
Thanks for that, Jordan. Much appreciated, mate. Can I talk about what we did at the weekend?
Who?
Can I just talk about what we did at the weekend?
What did we do at the weekend?
Well, we worked on Saturday.
We were working on Saturday.
So I was working on Saturday. I was at the Hydro on Friday night, which is why my voice is the way it is. And then I went to an after party and then I was just screaming and shouting at people. So my voice hasn't fully recovered. But I also watched something that I want to recommend to you. So can you give me my thing, my music? You need to watch this. Producer John, you need to watch this. I cannot recommend this enough. It is sensational. It is unbelievable. Each episode you watch is more and more unbelievable than the previous episode. There's only three episodes, and it's called Dancing for the Devil, the 7M TikTok Cult. Have you heard about this? It was only released on the 29th of May.
Yes.
Is
it on Netflix?
It's on Netflix.
Yeah.
Dancing for the Devil, the 7M TikTok Cult, follows the real-life story of a group of prominent TikTok dancers that are trapped in a cult masquerading as a management company called 7M. Now, 7M has been accused of being a cult led by founder Robert Shin, who's also the pastor of the Shekinah Church. Pastor Shin, Shekinah Church. And in the church, he has this management company called 7M, and he has all these amazing TikTok dancers that are part of his church.
Mm-hmm.
And also part of his management team. And allegations have included that he coercively controls dancers and isolates them from their friends and family. So this is about the cult and how the families are trying to get in contact with their children, their sons and their daughters.
I was hoping that...
The thing is about cults, right? Now, I've never been in a cult and I'm not a religious person. But when you watch programs like that, you think... How do you not see what the rest of the world can see? How are you so blinkered to what you're experiencing and what you're seeing to the rest of the world? Now, I know you're shut off. You don't make any contact with your family. You are isolated. How can you see that as being normal and right? This one person has so much control over so many people.
Well, I mean, it happens regularly.
I know, but I'm trying all to, the time. I'm trying to understand.
In many different countries, to many different people.
100%. And the thing is, though, these people that get involved were already very popular on TikTok. They had massive followings, were doing well in their business.
Well, because they obviously thought it was going to boost their career and they could make money from it, presumably.
You need to watch it. It's so good. Right. I felt so sorry for a
lot of
families.
Do you know who I would like to see a documentary of? You know that family of, it's like a dad and two sons that do dances on TikTok?
No.
They're like down south somewhere. Don't.
And the daughter as well?
And right. I'm like, no. There's stuff going on there, and like, it needs to be investigated. It needs to be investigated because it is disturbing. It is some of the worst stuff that I've ever. It all came to prominence during like lockdown and stuff. Remember, do you know what I mean? You know what I mean? Like, these people are a menace. They're an absolute menace to society. And whenever I see them pop up on Instagram, I don't have TikTok, right?
They're all on Twitter as well.
No, but this is the thing. See, with Twitter, I almost don't need TikTok because all the best things get put on Twitter anyway.
Yeah.
Like, it's all, they migrate across.
No, they do, yeah.
So, like, I don't need another social media, but these people are an absolute menace to society, yeah, and they need taken down. Okay? So if you could make a documentary about them, that would be fantastic. Right, okay, good recommendation from you and Cameron. Right, in terms of the football, it's obviously full steam ahead to the Euros. A week on Friday is our first game. We've got a warm-up game in Portugal against Gibraltar tonight. Warm-up game against Finland on Friday at Hampden. But the big news over the last few days is Lyndon Dykes is out of the Euros. He was stretchered off in training. It looks like his knee.
Yeah. He's had injury problems all season.
He has, but I think this was a fairly innocuous sort of, you know,
yeah,
thing that happened during training. You have spoken about how you're not Lyndon Dykes' biggest fan.
No.
But now that he's out,
I get the feeling that Stevie Clark might not call anybody up.
Well, he says he's going to take 2 or 3 days to think about it.
Which suggests to me he's not sure whether he needs to bring anyone in. But what I would suggest, if you've got that space, use it and maybe an under-21 player and give them the experience.
Or
bring in Tommy Conway from Bristol City.
So Tommy Conway is obviously one of them from Bristol City, scored a few goals this season.
Yeah. Ross Stewart at Sunderland.
Ross Stewart only really came back the last...
From injury
the last 3 or 4 games. Ollie McBurney is also injured.
He won't be getting called up.
So there's
If it was out those two, I'd probably go with Tommy Conway because he's a young lad.
I saw somebody else suggesting Simon Murray from Ross County.
Somebody suggested Ryan Fraser as another wing-back option because he does well for West Brom.
I think Southampton, but I think if... Ryan Fraser plays with Southampton.
Oh, Southampton, that's right, sorry.
I think if Ryan Fraser was going to be in the squad, he would have been in it already.
But he might fill that void.
I'm tended to agree with you. I don't think he's going to call anyone up because it just means that from the squad that is still there, he only needs to drop one player and that will be
a keeper.
That will probably be Craig Gordon,
yeah,
or Liam Kelly.
Yeah.
I think it will be one of those two. And then that's an easier decision. Whereas if he brings someone
that's
else
into
the squad,
shout.
He then needs to ditch someone else.
Who's been in part of the setup.
Yeah, exactly. So I think, I probably agree with you, I don't think he's going to call anyone up, which means we're going into the Euros with Shea Adams and Lauren Shankland as our only recognised strikers. Now,
McTominay could be thrown up there because he's done that for Man United.
McTominay, yes.
He's done it for Man United.
I think you'd miss him in midfield if you push McTominay up there. I mean, there is obviously a chance we go full Craig Levein and don't play with a striker.
Well, Man United have done that for the last couple of months.
McGinn, McTominay, Christie as a sort of three.
Real
or something
Madrid
like.
Do it.
Yeah, unfortunately.
I know we're talking about the quality of Real Madrid,
that Real Madrid have, unfortunately. So, I think it's a bit of a blow. And I obviously feel sorry for Lyndon Dykes as well.
Oh, don't get me wrong, even though I'm not the biggest fan, I do feel sorry for the boy because he did deserve his place there.
Yeah.
If he'd ever started a game, I'd have been really pissed off because I don't think he's good enough to start. But he's a good option to have.
Mm-hmm.
And by not having that option, then I think the option would be then to push McTominay up to be that physical presence during the game. If we're 1-0 down with 10 minutes to go and you need that presence, you want to go back to front. So from that point of view, it's a shame. And I think he deserves his place on the plane. So unfortunate for him.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, but I do think that Doak now, great opportunity for him. I think there's even more of a chance.
I actually forgot about Doak.
There's even more of a chance for him to actually get some game time.
I think he'll get a good run out tonight against Gibraltar.
I agree, I think
there'll be lots of changes tonight because it's only Gibraltar. But I think
I agree.
I think Doak will play, and I think a lot he'll use it to look at players and see where they are,
and then he'll go for what will probably be his starting 11 on Friday in preparation for the game a week on Friday.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? I think he'll probably try and go with his best 11 or the team that he's earmarked for Germany on Friday against Finland. And I think there's only one or two positions up for grabs. I think the team already more or less picks itself. I think he'll go with Adams. I know there's going to going to be a clamour for Shankland because of the goals that he scored. But even as a Hearts man, I would still go with Adams because I think Shankland's a great player to bring off the bench if you're chasing a goal and somebody who can get a goal. Because I think
there's obviously what he's going to do on the right hand side as well, because it'll either be McCrory or Ralston, I would imagine. That plays on that right-hand side.
I mean, I do like the idea of Forrest being there, but I'm not sure defensively up against
Wurtz. So he's got a few things to try and work out, but I mean, it feels like it's getting real now.
It feels real! I'm sitting here with a Scotland jersey on. Do you know what year this was, a Scotland jersey?
That was 1986.
It is, yeah, it's 86 one. I had that brilliant pair of shorts with the band across the middle of them. Mm-hmm. I had that strip when I was a kid. Absolutely loved it. So I've got the 1986 Scotland top on today.
Do you like it? Yeah, it's good. It's a good talk. By the way, speaking of, myself and Roger Hanna from Clydeman Super Scoreboard and the Scottish Sun have recorded a special series of podcasts. Six different guests.
Did I see Braveheart in here the other day?
Colin Hendry was indeed in the studio.
I did see him from a distance and he waved at me and I waved back at him. I was speaking to somebody else, so by the time I turned around, he'd already gone.
It was. So Colin Hendry is one of the guests. He's speaking about Euro 96. Didn't get his first Scotland call up until he was 27.
He was late on his career,
So lots of interesting stories for him, obviously, as well. Stuart McCall, former Rangers midfielder, obviously, and 40-odd caps for Scotland, played at both Euro 92 and Euro 96. Kevin Gallagher went to Euro 92 and 96 as well. So we're chatting to him. Pat Nevin was great. We recorded him. He's the final episode, I think. He was great. He really interesting. Got his first cap in the sort of March of 1986. Thought he was going to go to the World Cup in the summer under Alex Ferguson.
Yeah.
Tells a really funny story about how he didn't get in. He got bumped for Italia 90 as well.
That's right.
And then at 92, he went on loan to Tranmere, who were in the English Championship at the time, or the old First Division, and to ensure that he got on the plane for Euro 92 and actually played at Euro 92 with a really bad injury. But you will need to listen to the podcast to find out.
When you think of the talent that we had at that time, that Nevin didn't feature in 86 or 90, that tells you how good a squad we had.
He did make that point. He was like, you know, I was up against like Davy Cooper and guys like that. So he was like, you know, he said as much as I was disappointed not to go, I'd be like...
I thought he was unlucky for 86, more so than 90, but we did have a great squad then as well.
And from the last Euros, from Euro 2020, Declan Gallagher and Stephen O'Donnell join us for a wee chat. So that'll be quite interesting as well. So you can listen to that on the Super Scoreboard feed. You'll get it on the YouTube channel and obviously on Spotify and all the rest of it, but it will be dropping on the Super Scoreboard feed fairly soon. So it's myself, Roger Hanna, and it's called Scotland's Euro Stories. So you've got that to sort of tee you up for the Euros, which are happening a week on Friday. Right, some domestic news before we get into other stuff. In fact, do you want to do some transfer talk, actually, producer John? I think we could probably do with some transfer music if you do.
I've got some news on Shankland.
Okay, right, okay. We need some How you doing, everyone? It's great to be back with Transfer Talk on the Big Scottish Football Podcast. You and Cameron, you've got an exclusive about Shanks, don't you? What's happening with Shanksy boy?
Lauren Shankland.
Loza.
Yeah, he clearly...
plays with Hearts.
He didn't feature at all in any of the publicity and PR around the launch of Hearts' new strip.
Maybe he was busy and he doesn't take a good photo.
These were done months ago.
Months ago.
So there was no pictures of Lauren Shanklin in the news strip. There was no video footage of Lauren Shanklin in the news strip.
Unbelievable.
Maybe he didn't like Maroon. Some fans were suggesting, well, he's with Scotland, why would he be there? And then my reply to him was, well, Craig Gordon's with Scotland and he turned up for the pictures. And to think that...
Maybe they just think Craig Gordon's better looking than Lauren Shanklin. It's all about modelling.
Probably Hearts probably know what's happening with Lauren Shanklin, which is why he's not featured in the
PR. If there's any club that do know it, it's probably Hearts, given that's who he plays
with. I'm going to tell you where he won't be.
Wow. Where's he not going?
Breaking news.
Breaking news from Ewan Cameron. Where is Lauren Shanklin not going?
Breaking news. I can tell you here and now.
Nearly broke your pen. Yeah, it's so exciting.
I can tell you right now that Lauren Shanklin,
who's currently Hearts number nine,
who is still
scored loads of goals this
31,
season.
31 goals for
Where's
Hearts.
Where's he
this
not
year.
Going this season, though? Is he not going to Dunfermline?
He's definitely not going to Dunfermline.
Excellent. What a breaking news that is. Right, he's not going to Dunfermline.
No, but he is not going to. Lauren Shanklin is not going
Shanks,
to.
Loza.
Yep.
Loza Shanks. Where's he not going?
You'll be surprised by this.
Okay, right. Well,
I'm telling you,
I'm not easily surprised or shocked. So I'm looking forward to this.
You're
going to
be shocked with this. Lauren Shanklin is not going to Rangers.
Wow, wow, what a shock that is!
Breaking news.
Rangers, of course, play in Glasgow.
Aha, and I'll tell you the reason why he's not going to Rangers.
He hates the M8. It's a terrible commute for him.
Nope.
I have to do it sometimes as well. It does my tits in.
So you're not there with the M8.
It depends. If he stays at the other side of Edinburgh, he might have to go on the Edinburgh City Bypass as well. And that Sheriff Hall roundabout is a nightmare.
Yeah.
He can't handle the commute, that's what it is.
This might surprise you. The reason that Rangers will not be signing Lauren Shanklin, the reason why they didn't sign him in January, is because Philip Clement,
he's the Rangers manager, of course.
Clement does not fancy him at all.
Doesn't fancy him?
No.
Doesn't fancy him at all.
I think he's a good-looking boy. I think he's good.
You know, despite the fact that Hearts don't want him in any photos, and Philip Clement, he's no his type.
Yeah.
I think he's a good-looking boy.
So yeah, I don't.
Knows where the back of the net is. The onion bag they used to call it.
I don't think Clement.
That's where they keep onions.
I know. I don't think that Clement rates Lauren Shanklin, which I am shocked at, and I actually think that he's made a massive error.
Well, we'll wait and see on that one. Any other exclusive news about Rangers? They have signed someone.
Jeff Day, he's already there from Brazil.
Yeah, Jeff Day.
This morning it was breaking news that Oscar Cortez,
they've got another loan of him from Len, of course.
For another year with the option to buy next summer.
Option to buy, that means they can buy him next summer.
There was a talk this morning that Celtic were linked to an Israeli goalkeeper who plays for Bayern Munich.
Bayern Munich, of course, in Germany, famously.
Yeah. So that was rumoured this morning, but again, that's all I know at this precise moment in regards to...
They've also been linked with the Liverpool goalkeeper, Kelleher, who's Irish, of course, and that is in Ireland.
Liverpool quote $25 million for him.
He's just been released, though.
Yeah, I know, but at the time, Liverpool were quoting him as a $25 million.
That's a lot of money.
But that's what I'm saying, before he was released and all that stuff. But there will be other clubs looking at him. But if Celtic were to get Keller, that would be a fantastic signing.
Right.
He's a great goalkeeper.
You think he's a great keeper?
Great keeper. I thought he did a great job when he filled in for Alisson when he was off.
Alisson.
Yeah.
Do you know that Alisson's got a brother called Muriel? You think I'm taking the piss here? I'm actually not. His brother's called Muriel.
Yes, yeah.
And he's called Alisson.
Yeah.
So his mum and dad were having a fucking laugh in the name then. Anyway.
But Keller would be a great signer for Celtic. I rate him as a goalkeeper.
Also, very Ryan good. Jack, Kemar Roof, John Lundstrom, Borna Barisic.
Gone.
And John McLaughlin have all left Rangers.
At dinner with John McLaughlin.
You had dinner with John McLaughlin, yeah. What did he have? Did he have soup?
Did he have soup?
Did he have the soup or did he have the pâté?
Oh, it was a pâté.
Was it pâté?
And then he had the steak.
Steak, interesting.
And mash.
Steak and mash, as opposed to the chicken balmoral.
Yeah. And then we had...
Well, there you have it, folks.
With a chocolate flan.
Where's he going next season then? Did you get the chat for John?
No. Well, weirdly, from John McLaughlin... I was speaking to him about Butland and Rangers and the season.
Butland's, of course, one of my favourite places to go on holiday.
And there, he didn't hint at any point that he was going to be leaving Rangers this summer. So I don't know if he knew at that point or not. Because the Pride of Scotland Wars was only...
It was only two weeks ago.
2 weeks ago.
So he's been pumped already. Maybe he didn't know.
And also, what a lovely guy. And his wife's lovely as well. And I've sat with him all night at the Pride of Scotland Awards.
Great at eating patty as well. Fantastic.
He was very complimentary about Stevie Clarke.
Stevie Clarke, of course, the Scotland manager.
Yeah, about his coaching and his tactics and all that stuff.
Yeah.
Really enjoyed it.
He does coaching
enjoyed
being and him. Tactics, yeah.
So, yeah, I like John McLaughlin, good guy. Spoke quite a bit about Hearts and Craig
Levine. Maybe you can sign him next season.
Sarah, maybe sign him for the podcast.
Sign him for the podcast, the John McLaughlin podcast.
Uh-huh.
Everyone be into that.
So, but he was very complimentary about Jack Butland.
Right.
Really good goalkeeper. Right. I say, what's the chance of him staying?
Maybe he's away to Butland's. Great place.
John thinks he's staying at Rangers.
Interesting stuff.
John thinks Butland is staying.
His finger on the pulse and in the patty. That is John McLaughlin. And that's our transfer talk for this week. Ewan Cameron's going to cough again because he can't stop coughing. Right, as we mentioned earlier on, artificial pitches in the Premiership will be banned from 2026-2027. And it was voted for by the Premiership clubs. So that's it. It's done. Kilmarnock are going to return to grass from 2025. So next season will be the final season on plastic.
But let's just remind everybody that Kilmarnock had already decided to rip up their plastic pitch long before this vote. So they'd already made this decision to go to grass. They're not going to grass because of what the SPFL what the Premiership are doing. This was already decided because they know themselves that they're shortchanging their fans by playing on pishy pitch, and that it's not the best of games. It's not great for the players. It's not great for the watching fans. It's not great for the TV companies
you're
either.
You're totally right. Kilmarnock fans have hated this season winning all those games at home. They'll really hate that. Over the past couple of years with a really strong home form.
I'm just saying.
Kilmarnock fans...
If that was the case, then why they're ripping up the pitch? Because they know.
Well, but you said the Kilmarnock fans are hating it, but Kilmarnock fans are having a great time. They finished fourth.
I'm talking about the pitch. I'm not talking about their position in the league. I'm talking about their pitch.
No, but you just said that Kilmarnock fans, you know, are fed up watching...
Football fans across the world, including Kilmarnock.
You said Kilmarnock fans.
And Kilmarnock fans, they don't like plastic pitches, right? Nobody does.
But do they like plastic pitches less than they like winning? Because if they like winning, they haven't complained about it for the past couple of years, have they? Or the past few years. Let's be honest.
I'm not speaking to Kilmarnock fans.
No, but you just said Kilmarnock fans are fed up of watching their team playing a plastic pitch.
If you were to...
Winning on a plastic pitch.
Well, then they should have kept it, but they're not.
Right, I know they're not.
I know, and they made the decision before the view.
I'm just picking you up on a wee point there. So, John, I don't know if our guest is ready. Do we have our guest?
So we've got a guest coming on from Falkirk, who was part of press release that went out a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah, so he basically headed up the paper alongside...
Who is that against, Swinney?
Queen of the South, Airdrie, Raith Rovers, Hamilton, Cove Rangers.
So James Swinney.
His own club, Falkirk. It's the CEO of Falkirk. It's Jamie Swinney. So Jamie, how are you? You all right?
Doing very well, thanks for having me on.
No problem at all. So obviously your position as CEO of Falkirk, you've been fairly vocal over the past couple of weeks with all the chat about the plastic pitches being banned from the Scottish Premiership from 2026-2027. So you headed up a paper on this alongside Queen of the South, Airdrie, Raith Rovers, Hamilton, Cove Rangers, as I mentioned. First of all, your reaction to the vote in the Premiership, you must be really disappointed. You put that paper in, hoping to persuade them. It's obviously not happened.
Yeah, we actually probably felt before we even spoke to the other clubs that it was always going to go in this direction. So obviously disappointed, but not surprised with the outcome at all. It was what we expected would happen.
Yeah, so just for people who haven't read your paper, what was your main sort of thrust? What was your main point?
Yeah, so I think I'll start at the beginning on the basis of I sat on the competitions working group, and our job within that is to look at matters within Scottish football and discuss opportunities to evolve, to progress the game, but also any challenges that we face. So when the artificial pitch debate started, instead of it starting off with how do we improve pitch quality, it started off with simply, should we ban artificial? And I felt that was the wrong question to be asking at the very beginning, because actually what we should have been saying is, what's the best option to improve pitch quality? Unfortunately, the ship has already sailed probably, and in terms of the Premiership clubs were already intent on forcing through a ban or making a blanket ban. What we asked was for an opportunity to consult with clubs, because no consultation had taken place with other member clubs, no research had been carried out. We asked, could we have a little bit of time to present an alternative option?
What was I'm sorry to interrupt you here, but I'm really confused by this. So you thought the question to begin with was wrong, but the question was always going to be about artificial pitches. So I don't know what your point is.
So I would start off, you and say that the question should be, how do we improve the quality of pitch quality?
But that's not artificial pitches.
In the Premiership. Sorry, what's not artificial pitches, sorry?
But that's artificial pitches is not the way forward for Scottish football, or for any league for that matter that's worth its salt.
I think that's a very much a subjective.
No,
point,
it's not. Just look at leagues around Europe. Tell me another top league in Europe that plays with artificial pitches. I can tell you right now, from 1995, 92 football clubs in England have not played on an artificial pitch. The English Football League will not allow artificial pitches in their league. Sutton United in 2021 were told, if you don't rip up your plastic pitch, you're not getting into the Football League. What did Sutton United do? They ripped up their pitch. They had their first couple of games of the new season away from home so they could get their pitch fixed. So if they don't want to be in the league, then don't rip up your pitch. If you don't want to be in the Premier League, don't rip up your pitch. The rules are there for a reason, because football fans and football governing bodies, managers and players, want to play on grass. Of course, the question is about plastic pitches and whether or not they are adding to the spectacle, and they're not. I think plastic pitches are an absolute joke, and football fans are being shortchanged with them. So if you don't want to be in the Premier League, don't rip up your pitch.
So once again, you know, that is all subjective. Everything you've said there is absolutely subjective.
No, so that's facts.
You're welcome.
That's facts. From 1995, the English Football League and Premier League in England will not allow football pitches. Do your research on Sutton United.
That part is a fact, yeah. Sorry, I was saying your opinion on artificial surfaces is purely subjective. I would argue, for example, high-quality artificial pitch is better than an average or substandard grass pitch. That's what I would argue.
Well, then,
so that's subjective as well.
The most leagues in Europe would disagree with you. And let's be honest about it, right? You're talking about 92 clubs down south. You look at League 2 and League 1. You've got tiny wee clubs down there. Clubs have got nowhere near the history of a Falkirk or a Motherwell or a Kilmarnock or whoever it might be. Listen, see, the way I look at it, right? I live in Falkirk, and I've been to many a game at Falkirk over the years. I was there that day when Hearts got beat 4-0 by Falkirk in a Scottish Cup tie. What bothered me about this was that Falkirk are coming across as a bit tin pot with the way that you're conducting yourself and the way that you are screaming about this and plastic pitches, that and plastic pitches, and how, let's look at an alternative. Falkirk, for me, and will always be a huge football club with a fantastic fan base at home and away. I think you're bigger and better than this. I think you've got to respect the fact that football fans generally across the board in Scotland do not like plastic pitches. Managers don't like it. Players don't like it. I think you need to look a bit... I think you need to act bigger and better than you have been. I think you've embarrassed yourself.
Well, I completely disagree. And the clubs that we had the discussion with felt exactly the same with us. And that... If you make a decision in Scottish football, for me, you base it on evidence, you do proper consultation, you base it on data, and you make sure you're making the right decision. If after doing all of that work, the decision is that we should progress towards grass and grass only, and there's a proper phase transition period, and there's support for clubs who have spent over £1 million on infrastructure and carpets, to allow them to transition to grass, like they've done, for example, in Holland, then at that point, I think you've got a more fairer and an opportunity to progress the game without damaging the game at the same time.
Yeah, just to jump in for a wee bit there, because I was going to ask you about that as well. I think, you know, listen, if people vote plastic pitches out of Scottish football, and that's the majority vote, there's not much you can do about that, okay? But what you mentioned there about what they've done in Holland. Now, for people who don't know, obviously Holland voted to ban plastic pitches as well.
Last season.
But what they did was, they ensured that clubs like Falkirk, like Cove, like Raith, like Hamilton, whoever it is, were compensated in some way for having plastic pitches. Because, as Jamie, I'm sure, will come on to speak about, there's more to just having a plastic pitch on a Saturday at 3 o'clock for their games. This is a facility that is used 7 days a week that generates income for the club, and that's going to be taken away.
Similar to what Sutton United went through.
No, I get that.
But the point is here, though, Stephen. You either want to be in amongst the big boys and play with the big boys, and you want to be known, and you want to be classed as a top football club with top facilities,
right?
Like Sutton United were hoping to do and hope to be, and they were part of the community and all that stuff. They put forward the same arguments that Falkirk have put forward as well.
Right.
The EFL and the 92 member clubs says, we're sorry, we hear your story, but this is the rules. We want grass pitches in our football league. If you want to be in the football league, you need to have a grass pitch.
I know that. You've said all that.
Right, but you're clearly missing it.
No, I'm not. What I'm saying is, and I think Jamie will probably jump in here after me, is a lot of these clubs rely on the plastic pitch for income. And in a time where Scottish football is not flush with cash, I think that these clubs are probably being, you know, just having the, you know, for want of a carpet ripped from underneath them with absolutely no compensation whatsoever. And I don't think that's fair.
There's 2 years to get this fixed and to sort this. They've given them a 2-year grace period.
Jamie, how much will this cost Falkirk? Say, obviously, I hope that you never get promoted to the Premiership as a Dunfermline fan. But, you know, say, just for example, say Falkirk have a great season next season and win the league. How much would it cost Falkirk to rip up the plastic pitch, and how much would it cost Falkirk not being able to rent out that pitch to local community teams and what have you?
Yes, I think there's a couple of parts here. First of all, I wouldn't be too focused on what England do. I don't think we should be led by what England do. There's not really a comparable in terms of resources available in England and Scotland.
Let Jamie speak.
Yeah, but I also gave an example of Holland, where they've actually created a grant for clubs, which you know, Holland's a bit more comparable to Scotland in terms of size of country, etc. Mm-hmm. And that's something they did. But I'll answer the question regarding the cost. So to take the point of there's a 2-year blanket ban, what a club like Falkirk or Airdrie or Raith Rovers or Hamilton or Cove or Queen of the South have to do is, we have to, well, first of all, aspire to win the championship or win it via the playoffs or win promotion via the playoffs. But at the same time as doing that, we need to fund a £1.2 million development, having already spent over £1 million on the infrastructure for an artificial pitch and two carpets and all the tractor and the equipment that goes with it. So before even reaching the Premiership, which was a hard challenge anyway, we've also got to have another £1.2 million ready to go and rip that up and start again. That's before we talk about the changes with regards to needing a training ground, needing to find a place for an academy, needing to find a place for a women's team. So that transition is absolutely massive. And at this moment in time, there's not a single penny of compensation for clubs who have spent over £1 million. They now have to go and spend over £1 million again to revert to grass. Now, just to confirm, when our clubs put these pitches in, the criteria allowed artificial in the Premiership. So the goalposts have been moved after the investment. So it's a retrospective decision that clubs will now effectively, it'll be damaging to the clubs that have an artificial surface.
So if you can't afford to play in the Premier League, that would worry me as a Falkirk fan.
It's not we can't afford to play. We could come up no problem at all. We've got a very, very good surface. We've got a great stadium. We've got a fantastic fan base, as you say. We can absolutely come and we can go and play in the Premiership.
Yeah, but you're saying if you have to rip up that pitch and have to put in a grass pitch if you were to win promotion next year, that's going to be a problem for you financially. So you're telling me
funding £1.2 million is very, very hard, yeah.
I don't think it's unreasonable to conclude that just finding £1.2 million from thin air is difficult. It would be difficult for probably every single club in Scottish football, apart from three or four.
There's difficulties for every football club in no, Scotland.
Listen, though, if Hearts got hit with a £1.2 million bill for something, you wouldn't be very happy if the other clubs voted for it.
The point is here, if you win promotion to the Premier League, your revenue stream goes up X amount straight away. Straight away when it comes to TV money, comes to gate receipts, ticket prices and all that stuff that comes with it. And mm-hmm. Falkirk being as big a club as they are, and they are a big club with a great travelling support, I think they make their money back quickly. Although they'd like to invest that money in players and recruitment, I get it. Like, look at Dundee this season. They decided to spend their money on players instead of sorting their pitch out. And they've been hammered for that, right?
So you'd rather everyone...
See, at the end of the day, Falkirk know if they were to win promotion next season, they would find the money because they know what money's coming their way with Celtic and Rangers visiting X amount of times per season, the TV revenue money that comes with it, the tickets, the sales, the season ticket sales. They'll be able to afford it. They will, ultimately, because they want to be there. And I think that's my issue here is I want, and I've been saying this for 2, 3, 4 years, I want Falkirk in the Premier League because you're a massive football club. I want Dunfermline in the Premier League because they're a massive football club. You offer more than Livingston. You offer more than Ross County and other clubs that are in the Premier League right now. And I hate that you're going about screaming and shouting about the finances and the money and, oh, we don't want to do this, we don't want to rip that up. I just think you get on with it because see, once you're in the Premier League, I think Falkirk have got the fan base and the facilities to stay there.
But it doesn't work like that,
but the other thing as well, though, Jamie, as well, every football fan in Scotland, no matter whenever a game is played, whether it be against Kilmarnock or whether it be against Livingston in the Premier League, you go on your Twitter, you go on your social media, you go on your fans' forums, every single fan moans about it, whether it be Motherwell, whether it be Hearts, or whether it be Hibs or Rangers or Celtic or Aberdeen or whoever. Everybody moans about the plastic pitches. They're crap games to watch. The managers moan about it. The players moan about it. And I'm going to play you a clip now from Brendan Rodgers, who just said this about the plastic pitches 3 months ago when Celtic were playing Livingston and Callum McGregor was just coming back from an injury. This is what he had to say. I'm going to play this to you.
But yeah, I think we're all hopeful in the future that we'll have quality grass pitches here, of which the supporters can hopefully see the best possible game that they can. But at this moment in time, we play on, you know, the plastic pitch, so we have to deal with that. And of course, that means we have to then think about team selection, the welfare of the player, and obviously from Callum's perspective, it's probably too much of a risk for us.
So Callum McGregor, one of Scotland's best players, was dropped for that game because he's worried about his welfare. You can't have pitches like that in the top flight of Scottish football, Jamie. You've surely got to understand that. From a player's welfare point of view, from a fan spectacle point of view, from the finances and the money that's paid by the TV companies, surely you understand all of that. I get your point, Jamie. I really, really do. But when it comes to top flight of Scottish football, we want the best in class, and plastic pitches is not that. Do you not understand that?
Ewan, so a couple of points. One really disappoints me is you're mentioning the Livingston and the Kilmarnock pitches. So our paper, if you've had a chance to read it, actually would have also banned the Livingston and Kilmarnock pitches because what our paper suggested was that they were held to the same standard as what the UEFA Champions League holds, the artificial pitches to, which means replaced every... regularly, so every 3 or 4 years, mm-hmm. has to be a UEFA quality, a FIFA quality pro pitch.
Yeah,
it reduces the usage down so that it's not being used 24/7 all the time.
Yeah,
which obviously deteriorates the pitch quicker. So actually, if you compare our pitch, with all due respect to Livingston's pitch or Kilmarnock's pitch, ours is light years ahead, absolutely light years ahead. And so as a Hearts fan, did you watch Airdrie versus Hearts?
Yeah, I did. It was a great game, and we actually talked about the pitch, and we spoke to Shelley Kerr about the pitch as well.
So if we're going to talk about artificial pitches, at least talk about what our paper suggested, which is the highest quality ones, heavily tested, heavily regulated, and replaced every 4 years. Because I would say, without trying to be disrespectful towards Livingston or Kilmarnock, that their pitches and their final latter years of life, the way they are at this moment in time, they are not fit for purpose for the Premiership. I agree with that point.
Jamie, so I'm going to ask you, and I know it's going to be a difficult question for you to answer. You as a football fan, take your Falkirk hat off. You'd want to watch a game on grass, wouldn't you, over plastic?
Yep, so what I would say in this one is, as a football fan, and as a Falkirk fan as well, if we can produce a high, high quality grass pitch in every single ground in Scotland, year-round, like they do down south, grass is better than artificial. Mm-hmm. I agree.
And but
what I would say to you is, we don't achieve that. We don't achieve that in Scottish football. We never have. We've always had clubs that have struggled to produce it. Dundee's just the latest in a long line of clubs that have struggled to provide a high quality grass surface. But based on those two options, a substandard grass pitch or a high quality Astro, I'd rather watch a game in high quality
Astro. But Dundee, if that happens again, are going to get hammered. Motherwell spent a lot of money to fix the problems that they've had, and their pitch has been immaculate this season. I think generally speaking, across the Premiership, when you take out Kilmarnock and Livingston and Dundee, whose drainage system is from the Victorian times, I think the pitches this season have been absolutely brilliant. They've looked spectacular. And another thing as well, though, Jamie, when you look at some of the clubs that are in your surrounding area, junior clubs, clubs that are in lower leagues that have got fantastic, amazing grass pitches, why don't you strive to be that?
I think you're missing the point, Ewan, on the basis that, like I said at the start, if there's a fair transition period and clubs were recompensed for the money they've spent, this decision would be an easier one to accept and to understand. But to just be told there's a blanket ban, our pitch just cost us 300 grand, we're going to have to rip it up potentially within 2 to 3 years, right? And all the extra, all the infrastructure we've spent previously means that's been forced upon us. That's not right.
But you
that
could afford right. it if you were to win the Prem. If you were to win the Championship this season, you would find the money, wouldn't you, to get into the Premier League next year?
Genuinely don't know if we would.
So let me ask you then. Say Falkirk have the season of their life with John McGlynn, and you actually win the league this season. Do you not think you would be able to rip that pitch up, put a grass one down, and take your place in the Premier League next year? Do you think you struggle
this season? Yes, because this year, because we'd have 1 year of using artificial
in
the following year. Yeah. But if you were to fast forward to 2 years, and the same situation was to happen, the club would have to make sure that what it doesn't do is put itself into a position where the future of the football club is at threat by, you know, having to take on a loan, because we would not have the £1.2 million. To spend. We would not have that to spend. As a fan-owned club, we don't have an owner who's got, you know, really deep pockets and can give us that money. So we would have to front-load that investment somehow, which is probably a loan. So go into debt to then go to the Premiership, to then be anti-competitive in the Premiership because we're spending so much money trying to service a debt on a pitch, we'd very likely be relegated back down again. So having that option in front of us, there is a chance that clubs like Falkirk or some other clubs like Airdrie or Raith Rovers has a very difficult decision to make at that point.
Yeah, I mean, I'm glad that Jamie's come on and sort of explained these points, because I think like it can just be boiled down to, like, as you were saying, plastic pitches are rubbish. We want rid of them, sort of thing, right? Well,
it's football fans across the board.
But that's fine. It's clearly more complicated than that, as Jamie has just explained. Because, yeah, that's fine. They obviously will get more money if they get promoted to the Premiership, but all that money will have to be spent on the pitch, and then they'll just get relegated again, and then they're back in the Championship. So what's the point? That's the problem.
Just to say, guys, I think you see, one of the other things that we asked for at the time, and I asked for at the competitions working group, was a proper 1 year's grace. Mm-hmm. So if a club that has a current artificial surface gains promotion for the first year that they're there, they can play on their artificial surface in the knowledge that by the start of the following season, they must then replace it with a grass pitch.
During
the difference between that is that you then operate in the Premiership as a Premiership club, and as Ewan said, you get the benefit of more money and all the rest of it. And you've got a whole year to transition and to plan. So get your training ground in order, find a place for your academy, get your ground staff hired. You've got all that to do. And for the start of the following year, you've been able to finance that investment and transition to it. So that was one of the other requests we made, so which Jamie, unfortunately was also rejected.
You don't see the Premier League at any point listening to your concerns and offering you that grace period. You don't think that will ever happen?
I don't think so. We obviously don't get a say in it. Sitting it with the Premiership, we don't get a say. So we've tried our best to consult clubs, bring clubs together, put forward a very reasonable paper and make some requests. At this point in time, I don't think there's going to be much, if any, support. So we may well have a situation in the future where a club is denied promotion and we're back to the 10,000 seater debacle as well, which was another ill thought out, purely decision.
Do you think that's it? Done, dusted, there's no right to sort of bring this back up again?
Yeah, we have discussed, is there any options left in them? I don't think there's probably much else. We may well decide to speak to the Premiership clubs again, to ask them to consider some form of package of support. But clearly, they don't have to, and they could just ignore those pleas, or they may listen to them. Just to go back on that previous point about, well, the Premiership clubs have voted on it, so be it. I think that's fundamentally wrong in Scottish football, that the 12 clubs that happen to be at the top league at this moment in time, they make a decision so, you know, unilaterally that they affects a whole game without any consultation or any involvement of the club. I don't think that's right, no. Personally. But we are where we are, and that's how the SPFL articles have been drawn up. So we'll do our very best to raise the point again and do our best to hopefully go and compete in the Championship and be in a position where we have a headache.
Well, obviously, I hope not, Jamie. But
I'd love for Falkirk to have that headache because they're going to be there or there's about for promotion because they need to be back in the Premier League.
Well, we'll see next season. Obviously, four big games to look forward to between Dunfermline and Falkirk. Yes. Looking forward to them immensely. So, listen, Jamie, thanks very much for being on. Totally agree with your final point there as well. I mean, I think I put out a tweet about this during the week, and you know, I'm sort of sick and fed up of the whole plastic pitch debate. I think it's a bit out of the things that need sorted in Scottish football. It's way, 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 way down the list for me.
But it's an issue.
I'm not denying it's an issue, but I think in terms of, there are other things that need sorted first. And I think what you said there is, I think there's a wee bit of, and I'm not blaming any individual clubs in the Premiership, I'm blaming them as a collective. When they're in, the 12 teams who are in the top flight, they think it's all amazing and we'll just change the rules that suit us. But then when they're on the other side of the fence in the Championship...
Well, hold on a wee second, Stephen. I think you're a wee bit... I think you're bang out of order. For the first time in a long time, the clubs are listening to the fans. This is what this is about.
No, right.
This is what this is about.
Okay, fine.
And this is also what Brendan Rodgers was saying, what Clement has said this season, what Naismith has said this season.
All teams who can afford to have really nice grass pitches.
Yeah, can I ask a question, Ewan, if you don't mind?
Go on.
Do you think it's right that 12 clubs out of 40 can make a decision as big as this without any consultation or research or... Do you think that's right?
The Premier League are their own body, though. That's the thing. A bit like the English Premier League. They can ultimately make decisions Football League.
No, but they're making decisions that affect everyone.
That's my point. That affect everyone. That's if you were to win promotion to their league.
But they're actually not their own body. Actually, so they were previously.
But what I'm saying is that the 12 clubs who are there, who are in the top flight of Scottish football, ultimately have the vote on these sorts of things. I know what you're saying is you'd be...
Yeah, but it shouldn't be like that. And that's what I was saying there. The 12 clubs, regardless of who they are, and I'm not going to name individual clubs, but I know probably Dunfermline were one of them in the past, who basically put through rules to try and entrench their place in the top flight, not thinking that in 5 or 10 years' time they'll be on the other side and they'll be thinking, oh shit, actually we shouldn't have done that. It's such short-sightedness. And I'm not talking about the plastic pitch here in particular.
Anything.
I'm just talking about in general. There's such short-sightedness with a lot of teams in the top flight and they just don't care, not realising that they'll be a Falkirk or a Dunfermline or a Raith Rovers or a Queen of the South, whoever it is. They will be one of those teams in the next 5 or 10 years because they'll get relegated.
But they've got grass pitches though.
What's really interesting, and we'll never know the answer to this, is if we arrived at the same outcome if it had been our pitch, an Airdrie's pitch, for example, yes, in the Premiership, because having seen high quality games on our pitch over the last year, there's no doubt that it looks good, it plays good, that night at Airdrie was a really good game of football. And I know in general Hearts were really impressed by the pitch. Dundee United came here last year and were very impressed with our pitch. So it's unfortunate the two pitches that were left in the Premiership were of a poor standard, because that has ultimately what has forced the Premiership clubs into this vote. I don't believe we'd arrived at the same outcome if we'd had a higher quality pitch. That's what our paper was designed to do.
So what you're saying, Jamie, Kilmarnock and Livingston have fucked it for you.
Well, I can't say that.
Jamie, we'll let you go because we could sit here and chat all day, I think, and you've made Ewan feel bad, which is amazing.
No,
you've made Ewan feel bad, so I think that we can class that as a success. Jamie, we'll let you go.
I'll see you behind the wall for a pint.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
I just can't wait till next season when Hearts come to the Falkirk Stadium in the Cup and we get another one over them in the Cup.
I mean, I don't know who I'd support on that occasion, to be honest with you. So, Jamie, I would say all the best for the new season, but I wouldn't mean it. So, thanks for being on the show, and we'll speak to you soon, mate. All right?
Cheers, Jamie.
Thanks, guys. Cheers.
Cheers. Cheers. There he goes. That is Jamie Swinney.
Oh, my God, that
CEO
was so hard with him to begin
Falkirk.
With.
Yeah,
I went flying in there. Yeah. I was in with, like, fists flying, uppercuts, hooks, and then by the end of it, it was a teddy bear.
Aye, exactly. Well, I mean, there's an obvious joke I could have made there, but I'd stopped myself, so it's fine. I didn't say it.
When I said teddy bear.
When you said teddy bear.
Yeah. No, I thought Jamie spoke really, really well. And because I have so much hate, I allowed my hatred for plastic pitches to consume me.
I think he was making some extremely reasonable
don't get me
points
wrong,
there.
He did. And he came. By the way, he's a decent CEO. He won't be at Falkirk long.
Can I help yourself?
Sorry, John.
Right, producer John, just take them over because we're using them in a wee second anyway. So, but before that, let's put something in the bin, shall we, producer John?
Get ready to open the big Scottish football trash can. It's in the bin.
Right, last week we had Robbie who was on, and he was wanting players that G up the crowds at corners,
yes,
and tackles and throw-ins. He was wanting them in the bin. Let's get a drum roll, please, producer John, if we can have that. Robbie, they're not going in the bin. 58% of the vote says they want to keep players G'ing up the fans at corners and tackles and throwing. So, Robbie, I'm afraid the people have spoken.
That's only the second time that something has been put in Scottish football bin.
Exactly. We got a... There we go. Give me that. There we go. Right, okay. Remember, you can get us at Big Football Scott on Twitter. You can leave your comments there. You can leave your comments on YouTube as well, Facebook and Instagram. And, of course, you can watch our faces on the YouTube Super Scoreboard channel as well. If you aren't watching, if you're listening, you can watch everything. You can see
and you can see me eating my cheese and onion crisps from Scotty Brand.
They are very nice. They are very good. And of course, Clyde One Super Scoreboard continues as normal from 6 p.m. When are you on Super Scoreboard? Is it this week, next week? When is it? When are you doing it? Or is it in the summer? I thought you were doing a Super Scoreboard. You don't mention
what day am I doing it, John?
You're doing it on Friday, Ewan, and then you're doing it on the Wednesday after that, and then you're doing a 2 weeks on Monday.
12th.
Right, so you're doing three Super Scoreboards. So yeah. Friday, Wednesday, and then the 12th.
No, the 12th, 3 weeks today.
Oh, three weeks
today. So I'm on this Friday?
Yes, Ewan, you're on this Friday.
Why does that date ring a bell for me? Something's going on that day. It might be because of the Super Scoreboard.
I hope it is, because I've got the dates in your diary.
No, I've got it. It's fine. I'll be there.
Are you going to Taylor Swift on Friday? Taylor Swift's in town. Friday, Saturday.
Is she doing three nights?
She's doing three nights.
Where's she? Murrayfield?
Murrayfield, yeah.
I'm not doing Taylor Swift. You're doing Taylor Swift.
I'm not doing Taylor Swift.
Are you doing Taylor Swift?
We're doing a show for Taylor Swift, but we're not.
Are you going, John?
No, I'm not going to Taylor
Swift. Your kids not want to see Taylor Swift.
Yeah, but price of a ticket, you, and I'm not paying that.
Exactly.
We've got Mark annoying to put something in the bin.
Yes, hello, Mark. How you doing, mate?
I'm doing fine, guys. How are you?
Not bad. What are you up to this morning, this afternoon? Anything exciting?
Nothing much. Just the kids to school and doing nothing this afternoon until I pick them back up.
Sounds perfect. Right, who's your team, Mark?
Rangers, mate.
And what do you think of the season overall? Obviously pretty disappointing end to the cup final, even though you've played quite well.
I don't think we deserved it. Even I think Celtic gave us a chance by losing all the points at in the sort of middle of the season.
Oh, you had a chance, Mark, but you screwed it up.
Aye, big time, man. Aye. Big time.
I know you'll listen to the podcast later on, mate, but I broke the news earlier that Clement doesn't fancy Shankland, doesn't think he's good enough.
I think that was the biggest mistake they made.
Yeah, but you're not getting him a summer either.
No. I think we should have went all out for him. I think we might have had a chance if we had the goal scorer.
He thought he had that goal scorer as Fabio Silva.
Yeah, that's horrendous.
Right, Mark, what do you want to put in the bin?
Right, so this is going to be very unpopular, probably with you two boys as well.
Okay.
But my thing is international football.
And the build up to the Euros, you can get to.
I know the build up to the Euros. I don't mind the sort of big tournaments, but see during the season when your team's playing and there's stupid friendlies for no reason at all, and then half the
players leave and all the rest of it. So it's just people picking up injuries, I assume, as well. And do you think it breaks the flow of the season, Mark? Oh, Mark's dropped off. That was actually...
I don't agree with him on that.
That was Steve Clark cutting his line there.
I don't agree with Mark on that one.
So, to be fair,
I'd be interested to see what the vote would be on this.
I see a lot of people moaning when there's an international football break on Twitter. I see a lot of people moaning about it, saying they can't wait to get back to the club stuff.
And it's not just in Scotland, it's all over Europe.
No, totally, uh-huh. Yeah. And there's people who just can't be bothered with it. I mean...
What do you think?
Obviously not, but I think...
The National Bridge, like the Nations League.
Yeah, I think Nations League has been pretty decent. Yeah, so
you're going to stop it.
You're back, Mark. We're just saying there, obviously. No, that's all right. No worries. I'm just saying about I see it a lot on social media. People saying, "Oh God, can't wait till the international break's over and we can get back to the club stuff and all the rest of it." So I see that opinion quite a lot. I don't agree with that. Obviously, I love going to Scotland games and stuff like that. But Ewan, here's a question. International football probably doesn't have the same standing that it used to. It used to be a lot...
Even for players.
Precisely. Yeah. So do you think international football is just down the pecking order now?
It's way down the pecking order. I think, weirdly, that players would rather win the Champions League than the World Cup or the Euros.
Oh, I don't know.
I think so. I think they're more into their clubs than they are into their national teams. Look how many players just pull out of games. Left, right and centre.
Not so much with Scotland, to be fair. Scotland are quite good for... I guess it depends how we're doing and stuff like that. So, Mark, I fully anticipate this is going to be a really unpopular opinion, but it's a valid opinion because I've seen it lots of other places.
I think Mark's opinion will be put in the bin.
Do you think?
I think you'll be right. I think most people and most fans don't like international football during the season.
I think Scotland fans, and us obviously being in Scotland, I think it won't go in the bin. Mm-hmm. But I think overall, I think the money's too big, and the game, the club game now, that, as you said, folk are not interested in it. Yeah. They'll go and play the big games, the big tournaments, but
here's a question for Mark and for you, Stephen. Right, with you first, Stephen.
Mm-hmm.
Dunfermline to win the Champions League or Scotland to win the Euros?
Well, I mean, Dunfermline are never going to win the Champions League.
I'm just saying, hypothetically, if they were, what would you like to see happen? I want to see Hearts win the Champions League.
I know, but the only way that Dunfermline or Hearts would win the Champions League is if we're bought over by some billionaire.
That's what I'm saying,
hypothetically.
Just so, who are you closer to?
It wouldn't mean anything. It would mean less. So I'd go for Scotland winning the Euros because that would mean more.
Mark.
I think it's a more pure form of football.
Mark, Rangers to win the Champions League or Scotland to win the World Cup?
Rangers to win the Champions League.
Yeah, well, of course he was going to say that. Yeah. But I mean, you know.
And like 10 years ago, 15 years ago, I probably would have said Scotland.
Yeah.
I agree with you. I was just going to make that point. See, if this was 20 years ago, you asked me that question, without doubt, I would hesitate in saying Scotland to win a World Cup. But see now, the way that club football is and how big it is, for me, it'd be seeing Hearts winning the Champions League.
Bizarrely, see if you'd said Dunfermline winning the Scottish Cup. had they been more tempted to go for Dunfermline winning the Scottish Cup, because that's more, that's believable. Like Dunfermline could have a mental season and win the Scottish Cup.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Five. Like Falkirk getting an easy run to the final.
Precisely. Yeah. Or like, you know, St Johnstone winning it, like a cup double and stuff like that. These sort of freak things can happen.
Yes.
Whereas Dunfermline would only win the Champions League if it got bought over by some like billionaire, and that'd be rubbish. I think I'd be rubbish.
Mark, here's another question for you. Rangers to win the Champions League but not to win the league for 10 years, would you pick?
I'd probably pick Champions League, guy.
And let Celtic win 10 in a row?
Yeah.
Yeah, of course you would. Of course you would. It's the Champions League.
You'd want Celtic to win 10 in a row over you.
Even Rangers winning the Champions League, I think, is a dream that will never happen. Do you know? I know Dunfermline's obviously might be slightly more out of reach, but when you look at the Champions League and Madrid and all the money that's in it, you'd be lucky to get into the group stages or out the group stages.
Do you think Celtic or Rangers could win the Europa Conference League?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think they could. I'd love to see them in it, but they'll never be in it.
Right. Okay, Mark, thank you very much for your suggestion. International football, is it going in the Scottish football bin? That is Mark's suggestion. You can vote at Big Football Scott on Twitter.
Cheers, Mark.
And yeah, we will find out the result next week. Mark, enjoy the rest of your week, mate. Thanks for coming on.
Lovely. Take care, guys. Bye-bye.
Cheers,
bye.
Cheers, Mark. Mate. Thank you. Right. Okay, let's move on, since you're already wolfing some of the crisp, to our crisp game. It is Crisp Commons. Do we have some music for this, John? I don't know if we do. Do we? There we go. Crisp Commons. That's our game. And of course, thank you again to Scotty Brand and their new beetroot chips. We have a new flavour this week, cheese and onion, which Ewan has nearly finished there.
I have actually nearly finished.
So this is back by unpopular demand, where Ewan is going to put many of those crisp chips in his mouth.
See,
he's going to name a thing, right?
What's really good about these are very Moorish, is they're not too cheesy and they're not too oniony.
Yeah.
It's just the perfect balance. So they're very, very good.
They are very, very good. And, right, have you got your first player?
Hold on. I'm just writing down my third player.
Right, okay. Well, you can do that in a minute. So,
no, hold on a minute.
What I want you to do is look into the camera with this music on and put the crisps in your mouth. So look at that camera there.
Okay.
Right. Kyle Walker. Right. Where's my Walkman? Right, again. Some Sockler.
Yeah.
Go again.
Lauren Walker.
Lauren Shankland.
Yeah.
James Walker.
Yeah.
Who's James Walker? I don't know who James Walker is.
Lauren Walker.
Again.
Lauren Walker.
Roy Walker.
Roy Walker. It's good, but it's not right. Right.
Walker.
Morris Walker. It is Morris Walker.
Morris Walker.
Granit Xhaka. Right, okay. I was about to say, who's Morris Walker?
Morris Walker.
I know, but I got there eventually, but...
You'll be playing against us.
I know.
Which one?
Right, Ewan, look at the camera. Speak in the camera, Ewan. There we go.
It's going to be messy again.
I didn't make much mess at all last week. It's obviously just you.
Mm. I don't have as big a mouth as you.
I do have a large mouth.
Your wife was saying.
What does that even mean?
I don't know.
Just a really shit insult. Put the crisps in your mouth. Come on.
That was your worst insult ever.
I don't even know
what that means.
That was Charlie Nicholas levels of insults.
Okay, here we go.
I should clarify, You don't actually need to eat the crisps like this when you buy them. I mean, you may wish to. But you don't have to. Right. Okay. Right. Which Euro player is... Right, go again. Morris. No, Morris. Morris Walker? Is it Morris Walker? Right, okay. Carry
Man
on.
The fort.
Man the fort. Right. Right, come on. Come on. Let's be seeing it. Man the fort. Right, come on, come on.
Man the cat.
Again.
Man the cat. Man the cat.
Van der Vaart. Van der Sar. He's not gone. He's retired. Carp.
Carp.
Clark. Xander Clark. Thank God. Right.
What the hell? Van der Vaart.
That was good.
We won the class. That was the third one.
By the way, misophonia is a disorder which certain sounds trigger emotional or physiological responses, but some might perceive as unreasonable given the circumstances. Those who have misophonia might describe it as when a sound drives you crazy. The reactions can range from anger and annoyance to panic and the need to flee. We've got a lot of people with that.
What, with the noises we're making?
The crisps going in the mouth. Right, come on. Final one, let's go.
Well, you've already won. Join the third one.
Aye.
Excuse me.
We'll take a thump on. So.
Put music back on. I don't think I've ever used crisps in a romantic setting before.
Well, here's your chance. Over the summer.
I have used food, but I've never used crisps. That sounded weird as well. No, I haven't used food like
put the crisps in your mouth.
You didn't hear for ages.
Right. Last one. Here we go. The funniest thing is, because you don't know what it's going to sound like. Right. Morris Walker. Is it Kyle Walker?
No.
Morris Walker. Willie Caldwell. Right, is it who's Willie Caldwell? Connor Lashley. Don't know. Right. Connor Massey. Who's that? Just say the guy's name. Say the guy's name, clearly.
Kylian Mbappe.
Kylian Mbappe.
Yes.
There we go.
What the hell?
Right.
How difficult was that?
That was quite difficult. Morris Walker, whoever you are, I hope you get a late call up. That is Scotty Brand's new beetroot chips in three flavours. Thai, sweet chilli, lime and coriander, and is modelled so amazingly there.
John, can you get me some wet wipes?
Yeah, I think we need a lot of wet wipes. Let's phone Hosey quickly.
Or do we have to phone him?
Hosey, somebody sent me a message about Hosey on my Instagram.
Yeah.
It was Ross Gibson.
And what was he saying?
Oh, well, I'll tell you if we get Hosey on the phone.
Oh, you're going to read it to him?
Yeah. Ewan, what are you doing? Just sit in your seat.
I was looking for wet wipes.
Right, well, we'll get them after.
Oh, it's too late.
We are actually late. We're late to phone Jose today.
We've been on forever.
Yeah, we have been on.
There's not even any Fitboy talk here. We just talked shite for last year.
Hello, guys.
Jose! How are you?
Very good, very well, thank you. How you doing, boys?
So I received a message from a man called Ross Gibson yesterday. You might not know him, but you made an appearance at Castle Douglas yesterday. And you were playing at the home of Threave Rovers in a charity game, Celtic Legends versus Rangers Legends. Ross says that you were the standout player in the team.
No, but I was good. Was good. No, I done very well, actually.
And
he was playing against five-year-olds.
He says that you were a standout. You were signing autographs left, right and centre, and his son, Ross's son, Connor, came away with your bandana, match worn.
Okay, and I son. He's like, the boy, he's like, what's he give me a bandana? Actually, he bought me a candy iron brew.
All right, okay.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, he said... He said, "Was it can I have your bandana?" I'm like, "Okay, no problem."
So it finished 5-5. So defences were on top. Colin Hendry, Marvin Andrews playing.
Yeah, Colin Hendry, Marvin Andrews play. John McDonough play. And yeah, they say, but it was good. Basically, the weather's good as well.
Yeah,
brilliant.
And you were the man of the match. That's what I'm hearing.
No, the kids. You know the kids. The kids love me. I just make one guy, and all the kids like, "Jose, Jose."
I can't imagine anybody not liking Jose Katongo.
Why would anyone?
I think everybody. I actually think that most husbands would allow their wives to go out with Jose Katongo. They wouldn't mind.
No.
I think that's how much he's loved.
Would you your wife?
No, I'm a nice guy. No, Stu. I agreed with you, boys.
Yeah. I wouldn't let Jose Katongo anywhere near my wife, but I'm sure there are some men who wouldn't mind.
Okay.
Right, that's a thing for people watching.
Jose, I'm going to buy you a new hands-free kit for your car for your Christmas. All right.
No problem.
It sounds like you're currently driving up Mount Everest. So we'll let you go. Thanks very much,
Jose.
Bye, Jose.
Bye,
okay.
Mate.
Jose. Oh, fuck it. Quick quiz. Jose. We do have to do the quiz, Ewan. Let's get on with it. Producer John. You just sit on your seat.
I need a paper and pen. Well, it's a Euro special, isn't it, Producer John?
Commonly a pen and paper, they call it. So is it? I take it writing down the answers and then...
Yeah.
Right, OK.
Is it a Euro special?
It is a Euro special. Now, you might be at a bit of disadvantage here, you, and I'm going to tell you for why. Because Stephen's obviously, as I alluded to earlier, has been doing the Euro Stories podcast with Roger Hanna, and we've had lots of Euro quizzing going on in that podcast.
We have. But to be fair, I've been the quiz master in that. I've not been taking part in the quiz.
Yeah, so obviously all the questions are different.
Go on then.
Okay.
But yeah, Stephen has been swatting up on Euro stuff over the last week.
I've been reading stuff out, John. Don't build up my part too
much. All right, okay. No
right,
problem.
So five questions, same questions for all of us, and we need to hold up our answers to the camera. Are we ready, John?
We are certainly all right, ready to go then, gents. Here we go. Ewan, you've been looking forward to this, so fingers crossed you can come through today. Right, okay. Let's start off with this one. Question number one. What team was Gordon Jury playing for when he was in the Euro 92 squad? What team was Gordon Jury playing for when he was in the Euro 92 squad?
I've got my answer.
Stephen, have you got an answer?
I do have an answer. I don't know if it's the right one, though.
Okay, what's your answer, boys?
Do you want to go first?
Chelsea.
Spurs.
One of you is correct. What did you say, Ewan?
Chelsea.
And Marshall has saved! Yes!
Gordon Jury has never played for Chelsea.
Yes, he has.
He has.
Has he?
Yeah.
Has he?
Yeah. Go and check that.
All right. Sure. But anyway, Spurs was the correct answer. Well done, Stephen.
Good start for me, one as per usual.
Nil. Right, okay, next question. Question number two. How many Liverpool players are in Steve Clarke's provisional 28-man squad? How many Liverpool players are in Steve Clarke's provisional 28-man squad? Stephen, you've written down an answer already?
Answer is already locked in.
I've written down an answer, but hold on.
What do you mean, hold on?
Yeah, I'm ready.
Okay. That's for me in a wee while, obviously. I'll go first since you went first last time, Ewan. I've gone for two. Andy Robertson, Ben Doak.
Two.
I've gone for two as well.
Both correct. 2-1.
Question number three.
Question number three. Who won Euro 92? Very simple. Who won Euro 92?
See, if Chelsea fucked me up, I'll be so upset. I'm ready.
You're both ready.
Okay.
Pretty easy. Stephen, what were you in for?
Denmark.
Ewan, what were you in for?
I've written down Denmark.
Both correct. Congratulations.
Who was it they replaced with it? Was it Yugoslavia?
Yugoslavia.
Yeah. Yeah. Right, go.
All right, okay. Next question. Question number four. How many times have Spain won the tournament? How many times have Spain won the tournament?
I've got an answer.
Got an answer?
Yeah.
Stephen?
I don't have an answer yet.
Well, he did play for Chelsea, Gordon Jury.
What year did he play them? Play with them?
86 to 91.
Oh.
And he's at Spurs 91 to 93.
Bugger.
Forgot he played for Hearts as well.
Aye, he did.
At the end of his career, there you go.
Yeah.
Stephen, you got an answer?
Yeah, I do.
When did Jury move to Rangers? What year was that?
93.
Was it 93?
Right, okay. What is your answer, first of all, you and Cameron?
The one at once, and that was the Torres goal.
They've won it once and that was the Torres goal. Stephen, what were you in for?
They've won it three times. I think they won it in the 60s or something, and they won it in 2008 and they retained it in 2012, I think.
So if Stephen gets this right, you've won. If you and you've got this wrong, you lose. One of you's got it right.
I've just remembered they did win it twice in the noughties.
And Stephen, it is you, so well done.
I mean, it's standard at this stage to be here. I hear this music in my dreams because I hear it so often on this quiz. Ewan, since we have reset everything, has not won a single quiz.
I think it's 6-0 now.
It's 6-0 to me now. And it's not even... there's still two questions to go and we don't even need them because I'm so far ahead. But anyway, thank you. Thank you to your family.
Your family don't care that you've won a stupid little quiz on a daft wee podcast between you and me. Thanking your family. Listen, get to fuck with that.
I get a lot.
Do you think it winds me up? It doesn't. I just cringe for you. I'm cringing for you because you're fucking sounding like a muppet. Don't sound like a muppet. Right?
I think evidence would suggest that it might wind you up slightly.
No, it doesn't. I don't know. I think you're like a fucking idiot.
I think it might do.
Anyway. Thanks to my family.
Thanks to you, Ewan, for supporting me as ever.
Sure.
And we'll see you next time on the Big Scottish Football Podcast. The final podcast before the Euros. It's going to be exciting.
Next week.
We're going to have another gamey. Ryan Crispy, we'll call it next week, I think.
Yeah, Ryan Crispy.
And then we're all off to Germany. It's all going to be very exciting. And enjoy your week. Hope you're all right. And Scotland, couple of games, we'll react on that. And of course, get voting on Mark's suggestion of putting international football into the Scottish football bin.
John,
it's all up to you at Big Football Scott. Thank you to Ewan. Thank you to my family.
John, I need wet wipes, mate.
And Ewan needs wet wipes to wipe his chin. So we'll see you later. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.